This podcast is a quest for well-being, a quest for a meaningful life through the exploration of fundamental truth. Enlightening ideas, insights on physical, mental, and spiritual health. The inspiration is love. The aspiration is to awaken new ways of thinking that can lead us to a new way of being. Being well. Welcome to Body, Mind, and Soul Healing Conversations.
Mindful eating is more than just chewing your food slowly. It's about cultivating a deep awareness of the entire eating experience. Mindful eating is paying attention to your food on purpose, moment by moment, without judgment. It is an approach to food that focuses on your individual awareness of the food and the experience of the food. It has little to do with calories, fat, protein, or number of carbohydrates. Always come back to the basics. Breathe and check for hunger. Assess your food with all of your senses. Slow down. Place your spoon or fork down between each bite. Investigate your hunger. Make a point of checking in with your body partway through the meal. Chew your food thoroughly, 35 to 50 times per bite. Savor your food. This includes mindfully choosing what you are eating. Valeria interviews Jennifer Hurd. She is an integrative wellness specialist dedicated to transforming lives. Her journey is deeply rooted in personal experience, having overcome the challenges of celiac disease. This struggle ignited her passion for natural medicine, mindful-based nutrition, and the pursuit of optimal well-being. Armed with a PhD in natural medicine and an array of certifications, including mindful nutritionist, health and nutrition life coach, MBSR, and yoga therapist, Jennifer is committed to guiding individuals on their paths to vibrant health. Her unique blend of academic knowledge and personal resilience allows Jennifer to connect with clients on a profound level. Meet Jennifer at naturaljen.com. Here's the interview with Jennifer Hurd.
In your own words, who is Jennifer Hurd?
Well, I'm an integrative health coach. My focus is on mindfulness. Now, that's just what I do. As a person, I'm a mom, a wife, a yogi, and a dog mom.
No, I love that. Me too. I'm a dog mom. Yeah. So I read in your bio that the reason why you chose the path that you are on at this time has to do with your own personal experience. And it has to do with something that I actually didn't know, celiac disease. So talk to me for a moment about that experience and how you came to make this decision to do what you do. Like, was that a moment in time or was, let's say, a journey in itself to find this path?
I guess it was a journey. So I had always been kind of sick, right? Like since I was little, if there was a cold, if there was anything going around, I caught it, but I didn't just catch it. It would hang on to me, right? Like I'd have bronchitis for 3 months and, you know, and I always had these black rings under my eyes. My mom would call them raccoon eyes. And I was so skinny. Like I'm 5'7" and I stopped growing at age 11. So as you can imagine, I was the tallest kid in my class always, but I was like 100 pounds. And I just always had stomach aches. I always had migraines. And then eventually over the years, after my third child was born, I got sick. Like, I mean, really sick. We quite literally thought I was dying. I was throwing up like 12, 15 times a day. I couldn't keep anything down. And it took a while for them to actually figure it out, because they kept trying to do different things and, you know, like all the different tests that are run. And it turns out I have celiac disease, which is, you know, such a common thing. And it's not deathly. It's not this big thing. I always say, you know, like it's nothing compared to somebody who has cancer. But just for that year in my life that I got really sick, it was really scary. And it was within that, I was lying on my bedroom floor because I was too weak to even stand up, that I got the call from the Board of Natural Medicine. Sorry, did I just cut out a little bit?
Yes. Yeah. A little bit. But you're back now.
Okay. My screen just did a weird thing. So it was I couldn't even celebrate. I was so excited that I had finally earned my PhD after years of, you know, schooling and research and that journey. And I was so sick. So it was kind of in that moment that I thought, okay, when I figure this out, this has to be my life goal. It was almost like that was kind of the message in that, saying, well, now you need to help people who are going through this.
Wow. Yeah. It usually, it happens for most of us, which is interesting. Not all of us, but most of us, I would say, on a professional path. I noticed that interviewing so many people, that it comes from their own personal experience, which becomes a lot more, in a way, authentic, right? This way of mm-hmm. doing this work, because you know what it's like. And I'm sorry you went through so much suffering, I would say, pain, really. I guess pain and suffering, they are different. I see them differently. I was just kind of imagining when you said throwing up many times a day, what would that, what did it feel like? For some reason, that stayed with me for a moment here. So you found out the reason. So, because with healing, we know that we need to find the cause. That's something that you advocate. I read about your work. We need to find what is the cause of anything that's happening. So we're not just treating the symptoms, as you said, too. So you found out that, so the problem was celiac. So I never heard about the celiac disease. For those who don't know, like myself, Jen, I would love to hear a little bit more the cause and the treatment. Talk to me a bit more about this disease.
Okay. So celiac disease is an autoimmune condition. Mm-hmm. It's basically like an allergy. So I can't have anything that has gluten in it. Wheat, rye, barley, most of those kind of grains. It manifests different in different people. For myself, it caused a lot of neurological disorders. So I can't even tell you how many bones I have broken over the years just from dizzy spells, because I would, you know, I'd be walking along and then all of a sudden I would just fall over. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was a big part of it. And the gastrointestinal was a little bit more minor in stomach aches and vomiting and that kind of stuff, just randomly. Mm-hmm. Like there was no rhyme or reason to it. Yeah. For other people, it affects the way that your body absorbs nutrients. Mm-hmm. So like my son is also celiac. It is hereditary. Mm-hmm. And just one of my three kids, actually. But at 2 years old, he had 14 cavities. Mm-hmm. And I'm a nutritionist. I believe in whole foods completely. This is a little boy that had never had mm-hmm. sugar in any form, not mm-hmm. even from juices, like, right. you know, fresh fruit, but that was it. So when the dentist told me that, it was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. Right. So everybody kind of experiences it a little bit differently in children. It prevents children from thriving mm-hmm. if it's, if it happens early in life. So that's why I was such a thin child and like bags under the eyes. You kind of just always look sickly.
It's also sad, right, in a way, to hear that about children, because they don't know, so they rely on the parents, the awareness of parents and educated parents to do something about it. That's wonderful.
Exactly.
Yeah, that they have you, your children have you with that knowledge. So,
thank you.
Okay, so then now I see why you have also, I think it's part of your program, it's celiac disease. Let me see how you phrase. I have your services here on your website. I see that. Oh, celiac support. Yeah, perfect for those newly diagnosed. So yeah, this is part of the appointment bundles in health plans. So I'll mention that again later on. So going back, I have some open questions for you here. In general, Jen, what is your understanding of being healthy? What is to be healthy to you?
I believe that health is fully dependent on the individual. I don't think that there's any one perfect view of health, but I would say that it's more of a balance of all aspects of being. So your physical plus your emotional, even spiritual.
Yeah. So that's what I call it wholeness. Is that the same understanding? I'm wondering if we all have the same understanding about wholeness. You mentioned beautifully, I think, at the end of your book. So let me mention the book. I'm all over the place with my notes. 12-Week Mindful Eating Journal. At the end, you say that you mentioned wholeness there. And I think I made a note here if I can find it. Yes. So you said under personal growth mantras, that was at the end, you said, I cultivate health, wholeness, and ease. So you did use health and wholeness, both words, but health, it's very much connected to the idea of being balanced in all areas. And I love that you said spiritual. That's what I'm mostly interested in. Of course, I am very educated in the sense of what to eat and exercise, sleep, and how to maintain my brain calm. So I'm very good at it. But there's something about deeper understandings of the nature of reality, of what I am or who I am and what this is, which we call life, that really has it has fascinated me since I was very young. Of course, it has to do, I would say, it has to do with traumas and a lot of suffering too. So if you don't mind me asking, what's your view on spirituality? Do you also bring your understanding of spirituality to your work somehow?
It's kind of interesting. I am an extremely spiritual person. I have been since I was a small child, probably before most children even understand what it is. And I like people to know that about me, but I don't believe in pushing it on anyone. So if people have questions, if they want that kind of guidance involved in our coaching or in our wellness sessions, I absolutely am there to support. Spirituality, religion tore my family apart before I was even born. My maternal grandparents are from India, and my grandmother was disowned by her family for marrying a Catholic boy. So my grandfather was Catholic, but Indian Catholic. And my grandmother's family were Parsi. So growing up, my grandparents always instilled in me that we have to accept everybody. Every single belief is worthy of our understanding. And for as long as I can remember, I have explored every spirituality, all of the different religions, and saw the beauty in them. You know, I think that we're all connected on a much deeper level than just what's in front of us. So I love to offer that to people, but I know that it can be a very touchy subject for a lot of people. So I have it there as an offering. And I like to let people know that I completely understand where they're coming from, but it's up to them if they would like that kind of guidance from me.
Yes. Yeah. Beautifully said. Beautifully stated too, in the sense, in the practical sense of not trying to push any belief systems or anything on anyone. Yes. Mm-hmm. It kind of, concerns me that we are not open to talk about, have a conversation about the different belief systems that we hold. You know, yeah. I think that creates a lot of, as we know, conflicts, you know, as you just said, and we see now in our world, wars and all that. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that, Jen, that if it is a belief system, that we need to be more open to conversations.
Absolutely. I think open conversation is the key to peace.
It really, really is. Right. I usually, my guiding principle is truth. So I'm always looking for truth instead of looking for something specifically, a better situation or whatever it is, you know, that's the level of desire. I always, well, I'm not saying that truth is not a desire. Of course it is, but it's at a different level, I guess, or different. It feels very different when I am in a situation that's challenging and I ask to see the truth instead of the situation being, let's say, favored, becoming something that is beneficial to me. So that's something that I usually don't do. I think I stopped doing that about 10 years ago. And it has been very interesting. It takes a lot of courage too, because then you have to be open enough to see the truth, listen to it, to and let it be what it is a lot of time, because we can't do much about certain things.
Yeah.
So, okay.
True.
Right. I think that's a different conversation, a different podcast interview. So let me move on to something else. So you have a PhD in natural medicine. So for those who don't know exactly what that is, which to me, the name, you know, natural medicine says it all. But what is the meaning? How would you describe what natural medicine is in a relatable way?
So I think most people are more familiar with a naturopath. So it's kind of the same thing, but a naturopath is an MD. And a PhD is just that one step further, where I've done a little bit more research and that, more varied in what I could study versus a strict guideline of just these things. But so natural medicine takes into account the whole body. So, and this is where the physical and the mental come into play through nutrition, through healing in many different modalities. Personally, my thesis was written on yoga therapy, specifically working with patients that have Tourette syndrome. So at the time, and that was about 20 years ago now, my oldest son had Tourette's, so that had kind of put me into that. And while I was working through my PhD, but I focused on breath work, so kind of breathing therapy, physical movements, the asana of yoga, but combined with nutrition and just general exercise. So that was kind of my main focus, but many people focus more on the nutritional side, on homeopathic modalities and that as well.
Right, right. I love that, though, that you bring so many tools, per se, into this, the healing process. So that's so beautiful. I love the, I was looking at the new book that you have on Amazon, Breathful Serenity,
yeah,
a guided breathing journal. So that is so fundamental, isn't it? We forget to, not to breathe. I don't think we ever forget to breathe, obviously, but we forget to pay attention to our breathing. And sometimes it becomes very shallow, which is not helpful in stressful situations.
Yeah.
So Yeah, talk to me for a moment about that. I know we're talking about the main book, the book of discussion today is 12-week mindful eating journal, but I would love to for you to talk to me a bit more about breath and breathing. Why is this so important?
Okay, and you're absolutely right. People forget to breathe, and it's a funny thing because it is a very natural thing. It happens on purpose all the time. We just breathe, but our lives are very stressful. Just is. In general, in the 2000s, right, where everything seems to cause stress, and many adults get to adulthood through stressors, you know, from elementary school through high school and then just into the working life. And our bodies get stuck in kind of this stress breath state. And like you mentioned, the shallow breathing, and it disrupts every system of the body when your natural state is to breathe too shallow or to have what's a paradoxical breath. So where we, you know, where the abdomen contracts on the inhale instead of expanding and that kind of stuff. There's several different physical manifestations that can happen. And that journal in particular came about because for the last few years I've been working with concussion patients, and the biggest thing that kind of was a similarity between all the different types of concussion, all the different types of people, you know, I worked with small children and with elderly, was the breathing patterns. And by bringing their awareness to a natural breathing state and giving them exercises to help build the muscles involved with breathing, I was able to help them reduce their concussion symptoms greatly. And so I thought, well, this won't just help concussion patients. Like, this can help everybody. Because, you know, I know when I get stressed, my breathing becomes too shallow. So
it can help everybody for sure. And yeah, you just mentioned the stress levels. It is quite high. And do you I always look for the cause. I love the big picture of everything. What is the cause of that? Would you say the modern ways of living, the way society has been structured, or
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. I think that, you know, obviously it's multifaceted as everything is, but we're in this go, go, go society, and mindfulness, especially in the Western world, isn't present enough. We're not paying attention on purpose in moment to moment. And, you know, most people wake up with this long list of things that have to get done in the day, and they don't take that moment in the morning just to go, oh, it's a beautiful day, right? Yes. So I think that definitely has created this low-level, stressful society.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I agree. And for some reason, I connect mindfulness, meditation, I do connect them to spirituality, spiritual practices. I see them as a spiritual practice, spiritual practices. Do you see them that way too, Jen?
I do. I definitely do. Particularly for myself, I have been asked to separate them in different settings, depending on where I am. And I don't really find that beneficial. I think that connection that we have through spirituality to each other is what makes us human.
Yeah. Yes. So in a way, we don't need the labels, right?
Right, exactly.
Is that what you meant? Because a lot of times, when I was planning to host events here in Florida, and then I remember, you know, what's the name? What's the title? And it would come to me all the time, this science in spirituality or healing in spirituality. But then something, for some reason I changed because it's, I think that's what kind of what I was, I became aware of, that we don't need the labels anymore. Although I do, why not, right? The word God and all that. I know a lot of people don't even use the word God. They refuse to hear that word even. So it's just words, but I know they have this energetic resonance too, and they have meaning. But most, I think the issue might be that we have assigned negative meaning to so many words. And now they become too heavy that we don't even want to hear them. So yeah, spirituality is not one of them for me, but I know religion is. When I talk to people, and that's one thing that they say immediately: I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Because they see within their own understanding, they see that there is a difference between them. It's not, spirituality is not there's no rules, right, Jen? I don't think it's more like of a, it says this inner discovery, inner journey into something that we are not exposed to on a daily basis. For some reason, we are very distracted, and we're always using the sensory perceptions to interact with the world, with this reality. But there is so much more.
Oh, so much more, for sure.
Yeah, than just that. So yeah, I do see that. I had to make that comment about mindfulness becoming, even the word awareness, meditation. I see them, for me, they have become spiritual practices. But I know it's today in Western societies, we see that a lot of people using those words, and it's not related. They don't say that spiritual, but in a sense, it is. I have to say that. It is spiritual.
No, I absolutely agree. It's definitely spiritual.
So there's an email that you sent to me. You said, that's how you wrote, "I specialize in mindful eating, and my goal is to help people connect with their bodies." So I guess this is an interesting concept for all of us. It's an interesting one to explore. I have some ideas, of course, because I've read information about this. I talked to so many people. I read a lot, and I read some of the information about you. So, but talk to me about this concept of connecting to our bodies. What is what to look for initially for those who are beginners, let's say people who don't have no idea where to begin? What's the way to do it?
Okay, well, for many people, it's very easy to bring awareness to just what you're eating. So, you know, like a lot of times we'll grab a snack or you grab a meal and it's on the go and you're not even paying attention to what you're putting in your mouth. The mindfulness part comes in with actively choosing something that you want rather than something that's convenient or easy. And then paying attention to it and discovering, you know, the textures, the flavors, the subtleties that exist within that food that you've chosen. So that's kind of the basis of mindful eating. For myself, I decided to focus my energies into helping people with mindful eating because I didn't realize what a problem food was for me. I used to say, I hate food. I would say, I hate food. I hate eating. And I would avoid it at all costs if I was in public in any way, just because of how sick I would feel after meals. Right. And of course, this was all because of the celiac. But now that I know, and I try to bring awareness to my mealtime, and a lot of times it turns my stomach and I get disgusted with myself with eating. So I try to help other people through that. Anytime that you've been through something that's like gastrointestinal or abuse, or, you know, there's so many different reasons why we may be disconnected from the foods that we're eating. That's my focus, is to help people reconnect. Because I truly believe we are what we eat. When you eat healthful, happy foods, your body is healthy and happy.
Mm. Yes, there's a lot of truth to that. I would I wouldn't say I am what I eat, but the body is, right? I know the mind influences the mind. Obviously, they are connected very much. But yes, yeah. So is that, in a way, it's mindful eating. Is this similar to intuitive eating?
Yes, yes. You use mindful eating in intuitive eating practices. Okay. They are very similar things. Some people say that mindful eating is just a part of intuitive eating, and intuitive eating is a much bigger thing. Honestly, I've done a lot of research into intuitive eating, and I would really say that they're one and the same. It's just the word preference for some people.
Yes, yeah, it goes back to the words, yeah, labels, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a fascinating way, lifestyle when it comes to food eating, kind of letting the body know what it needs. Wow, what an amazing practice, though. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing that I tried. I remember trying this, but that was not easy, though. It's not, I know how I feel after I eat something, but it's not as clear to me what to eat. I don't know where, if I am programmed to choose certain things, or if the body is looking for that certain foods. So how do we know the difference, Jen?
You're absolutely right. This is a huge struggle for most people. I still struggle with it myself a little bit. They're intertwined so greatly. So it is a very hard thing. It's about discovering, if you really look at what you've chosen to eat, and then ask yourself why. And it's kind of that, you know, that little kid game of why, of continuously asking. So, you know, if I chose a cup of tea, and even though it's a beautiful hot summer day, and why did I choose to have a hot cup of tea, right? And the question is, well, it reminds me of my grandparents. It brings me closer to them. Okay, that's fine. Go ahead and have the tea. However, if I choose to have a chocolate cookie instead, then why did I choose that? Your body doesn't normally need the extra sugar and the extra fat. So it's connecting to that emotional side. And, you know, well, when I was a kid, I was rewarded with cookies, you know, so it's like, okay, do I feel like I need to be rewarded and soothed? And is that a healthy choice in this moment, in this time? Right. So it's that just that continuous why. And it really makes you dive deep. As deep as you would like to go with it, really.
Right. Oh, wow. I love that. That's a great way to know. So asking questions, I love doing that. I mean, I do this here for a reason, asking questions. So asking why, right. And you mentioned emotions. So, you know, I have heard that we eat emotionally. I'm sure you have heard that too. So we do a lot of things emotionally. And I wonder if it's also possible to do something like my case. I have to go back to my own experience of eating same things pretty much for breakfast. I eat twice a day only. So I try not to eat too many times a day or to have too many meals. So two is enough. But I tend to have the same things for lunch, let's say brunch, because I always eat late. So in my case, I look for the way that meal made me feel the day before, and then the day after, before that, it's almost like a pattern. So whatever the body feels good with, I just kind of tend to repeat. So it becomes a pattern, and in a way, it is a habit. But I don't see the emotional factor there, unless I ask over and over again. Wow, it just made me think now about that emotional piece. Maybe I should ask the question, why do I choose the same foods, same things to eat every time? Because that doesn't sound like it's intuitive, right? It's
not. No, and that is the thing. Often we're repetitive because there's comfort in the repetition, right? And there's uncomfort in the unknown. So when my kids were little, our thing was every time we went grocery shopping, the kids always came with us. Food was always very important. And we'd make them buy something new, some whole food, just something different that they've never had before, go home, research it, and learn all about it. And then same thing, if we go out to eat, my husband's a chef, so we eat at home more than we eat out. But if we do go out to eat, it's trying something different every time. So, you know, we'll try a different ethnicity, a new place. And it's uncomfortable. It's a hard thing to do, to really push yourself past those barriers. But, you know, there's so much that we can learn from being uncomfortable.
Yes, that's a good point. I think the only challenge is for somebody like me would be, you know, the mind will question that, saying, you know, if it is working, why do you want to change? So there's always that. It feels like it does. In a way, as soon as you said the word comfort, yes, something in me said, ah, that's it. you are really looking for comfort. And then, you know, the mind automatically will question that too, because I love questioning everything. What about if it's just, it feels good and it's working, and why should I try something that, well, actually I have tried different things and I didn't feel the same way. I guess that's why I went back to eating oats and protein powder that I mix everything, I put berries and all that. So that became again, it might be a pattern. That's an interesting thing, you know, to think about food. And it's so important. It is important to be aware of what we eat and how we eat, our relationship with food.
Yes, exactly. It is a relationship.
Yes. So you talk about that, actually. I have the introduction for this episode. It's exactly what I have this, the way you speak about mindful eating. It's cultivating awareness, deep awareness of the entire, you say, entire eating experience. So paying attention to the food on purpose, moment by moment, without judgment. So this is, it's just incredible. It's almost, it is a relationship that you have in what you're putting in your body. And most of us don't think that way. Very fascinating. See, because my, let's say, my focus is my energies, per se. They are more directed to spiritual knowledge. So I'm always I focus less on food and things like that and anything that's physical, basically. Although I do, you know, I try to eat healthy and I exercise and I'm very aware of all these things. But it's not really something that, let's say, I am interested in. Because I'm interested in spiritual knowledge and spiritual I would say knowledge, because it is concepts, spiritual concepts, you know, like love, peace. How do we get there? What's the purpose of life? I mean, I love, that's really what drives me. So I guess we are all different, right? But as long as we are kind of aware of all the other parts as well of living, then it should be okay. I mean, my case seems to be okay. It seems. Hopefully it's good enough for now.
Well, and I think that's important. I think that if you're happy and you're healthy and you've cultivated great relationships, then you're in a great space. And that's exactly how you're supposed to be living. I was always extremely shy. I didn't have good relationships. I was just at odds with my body, but I was always extremely spiritual. My mind was always in the clouds, basically. And that's comfort for me. I'm right there with you on that. Anything that I read is always spirituality based. And it it's comfort. It feels like home. Mm. I had to force myself, the food stuff, the nutrition stuff. That was because of my body, because I was shutting down. And I thought this is just as important and I need to give some weight to it. So that's really why my focus is there. It's even though, you know, I would consider myself probably more knowledgeable on the spirituality side of things, but life is about learning, right? So I'm constantly trying to feed that hunger, the thirst for knowledge.
That's wonderful to hear that. I'm not alone. Yes, it's almost like, you know, I heard before, I interviewed somebody here before, she's a chef from New Jersey. Yeah, Ellen. She said, I never heard it that way before, but she said, there are different kinds of foods. So primary foods and then secondary foods and so on. But she said primary foods are the foods of the soul, like what feeds your heart, your soul, your psyche. So that just resonated so much because sometimes I forget to eat, you know, food as in rice, all those things. I'm not hungry for them. My hunger, it's for spiritual knowledge. So I guess, but you're right. We have to take care of all parts of being. We cannot just be one thing, focus on one thing only, because this is what wholeness is all about, right, Jen?
So yeah. Definitely.
It goes back to that. So, I will talk to you forever about these things, especially in the spiritual end. But let me go back to your book. What was the, I usually ask this question to everyone. What was the main purpose of writing your book, 12-Week Mindful Eating Journal?
The main purpose was really, it came out of several different patients that I had. Some of my clients that didn't understand how important food was for the body, but then its connection to mentality, you know, just mental health in general, but also to different ways that they interacted with the world and that. So as I was, you know, as you're going through these sessions with people and you start to see patterns, I thought, you know, it would probably be a good thing, something that's accessible, because, you know, one-on-one coaching isn't necessarily accessible to every person. So in a book format, it's very short. I didn't try to overwhelm people with too much knowledge in that. In it, it was more, it's more a journey of self-discovery, right? Yeah. And so it was kind of came out of that, was trying to encourage people to take control of their own health and to be able to do this in a more affordable way.
What a beautiful purpose. You sent me a copy. I love the colors and it feels very calming and it's fun. Because the design too, because journals are so much fun. You get a chance to express yourself, you know, answer questions, write. Writing is a wonderful tool for self-discovery and self-awareness. So it's really beautiful. I love the design. The mandala is there too. It's just beautiful. Of course, I'm speaking of the design because that was the first thing that kind of opened up the space, almost like to invite the information in. I'm very visual. I love seeing. I love art. I think that's what it is. Yeah. And then seeing flowers and mandalas. I love mandalas too. I saw that there too. So another thing that caught my attention in your book. So every week contains, this is in the beginning, journal prompts for your thoughts about food, weekly meal planning pages, a weekly mindset practice, 5-minute journaling prompts, weekly gratitude practice, and then a weekly check-in page plus a couple of extra pages for journaling. The question that this caught my attention. What is the relationship between mindful eating and gratitude?
Well, gratitude is a big part of mindful eating, because food doesn't just appear on your plate. Mm-hmm. There's, if you're eating whole foods, there's the farmers that created it. There's the, you know, how did it get from the farm to the grocery store, the market, to, and then to your own home. There's gratitude to yourself for taking the time to prepare it, right? Instead of just tossing things together, being present during the preparation process. So there's kind of gratitude in every aspect of mindful eating to begin with. But just in general, I think that a gratitude practice is extremely important for everybody, whether or not it's with food, because it helps us see how we relate to the world, right? Mm-hmm. You know, simple little things. I was at the grocery store yesterday and the cashier was so sweet. She was so bubbly and she literally put a smile on my face. So for me, that was a moment of gratitude in that day, right? So I just think that it makes us better humans and more connected to find those ways to appreciate other people.
So true, Jen. And that's one of the things that I find to, as a practice or as a spontaneous kind of expression of being, is gratitude. When I am in that place of spiritual, let's say, awareness, then it's always there. You know, I know gratitude is just a word, but there's a powerful meaning, though, and also an energetic resonance.
Yeah.
Something happens when we are grateful. Something really does happen. The body feels different, more elevated, lighter. It feels lighter. There's something
right?
about it.
Right, it does.
Yeah, yeah. So it's actually working. I mean, I would say that's actually changing in a way the cells, right? They're kind of responding to their state of being.
Yeah, yes,
and
definitely.
So the environment around us. Yes, yes. I'm so glad you included that too. And that's another spiritual practice in my view.
Yes, so
that's
definitely.
A huge one. Yes, beautiful. And then I love how you make it so simple in a way, the 5 steps to mindful eating. So you outlined them there. Listen to your body, stop when you're full, 2, eat when your body tells you to eat, 3, seek nutritional foods, 4, when eating, just eat, avoid multitasking. That's a challenge for me.
That's a challenge for me as well.
Yeah, isn't it funny? I always eat. I love eating in front of my computer while I work. You could be just watching something on spiritual talk or whatever it is. But I don't know why. It's a habit, isn't it, Jen? It's a habit. And I'm wondering, and I tried not to do that, kind of just eat, and then it felt like something was missing. That's kind of because of the habit. Wait a minute, my computer's missing. Or somebody here to talk to me.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I need to work on this one. And then 5, think about where the food comes from. Yeah, that goes back to what you said about gratitude. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's anything that you wanted to, any comments you want to make about the 5 steps to mindful eating?
I think that the most important thing for people to remember is to go easy on yourself. Those are 5 steps, but you don't have to do all 5 of them every time you sit down to eat. You know, you could just choose one. Maybe just be grateful or notice the food that day. It doesn't have to be the strict regimented thing. It's more a guideline to help people just become more aware and more in tune.
Right, right. That's a beautiful suggestion. Yeah. Yes. Something else that caught my attention in your book is the vision board. It's a health vision board so that we can create one. That's an interesting idea. Because if we can visualize the goal, then it's so much easier to achieve them, to
exactly.
get there, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
And you're very clear with the steps, what to do. So the journal, it guides us to get to where we need to be. I mean, everything's so clear. I love simple in I love clarity and simplicity. Easy said than done. But in work like you do, you know, your journal is just so, it's there, everything. Those components, they are there. It's just so. And I love the art too. So you did beautiful work there, Jennifer. Really.
Thank
beautiful.
You.
Oh, you know, I just called you Jennifer. I said I wouldn't in the beginning of our conversation. So another, so we're almost at the end. Gosh, I would talk to you forever. At the end, you have my promise, and then you have personal growth mantras. I could just talk to you forever about this alone. So I chose not to even get to it because, you know, I can just go on and on with these ideas, concepts. So my promise, talk to me about the inspiration for this. Is this something that you have? It sounds like a practice, but also, of course, there are mantras too. And why do you call my promise? Is that something that it's coming from a place of self-trust? I wonder where it's coming from, the inspiration for this, for writing my promise and the personal growth mantras.
Yeah, so my promise, that part is, you're absolutely right. It's from a place of self-trust. Mm-hmm. I know because of my health problems and other things that we won't get into, yeah. I had such a problem believing in myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the keys to self-healing is creating that friendship within the self, you know, not to just be a person that gets through the day, but a person that you actually like, somebody that you would want to spend time with alone. And that's kind of what that was born out of, was that to not just be, but to rely on the self to kind of say, okay, I'm going to treat myself better. And these are the steps I need to take, kind of thing. And then, I fully believe in mantras. I think that, you know, it kind of raises your vibration. And sometimes we need to tell ourselves things, even if we don't necessarily believe it, so that we can eventually believe it, right?
Yes.
So I always include mantras, and I try to help any of my clients kind of create their own, because it's one thing for me to say, here, have this mantra, but if you can become personally attached to it, it's just so much better.
Yes. Yes. A billion times to that truth. Yes. And I know that's, it depends where we are. Yeah. I remember using some of these mantras. Are they similar to affirmations? Are they one and the same?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I remember doing that. But I think it depends on the person too, as you said. And I love the idea that we can create our own too. Mm-hmm. Although your mantras, it just sounds so beautiful as a concept. I love the one where you say, I mentioned it before, I cultivate health, wholeness, and ease. That one, just I highlighted here. It just caught my attention because that's something that I love doing. And then peace, yeah. Of course, I deserve to feel at peace in my life. That's a beautiful one too. And then you say, I feel the power of healing moving in and through my body. I receive pleasure and abundance with every food I eat. Yeah, I can sense and hear that the flavor, the perfume of gratitude in all of them.
Yeah.
This openness, being appreciative of life. So it's highly spiritual, that too, that state of being. Thank you so much, Jen, for being you and for doing what you do.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being you. You are such a beautiful soul.
Oh my God, I feel the same about you. So you're seeing yourself in a way. That's what it is, isn't it? we're just seeing one another, mirroring one another. So services, I want to mention that before we say goodbye for today. programs and courses. So you have Introduction to Mindful Eating, Discovering Intolerances, Changing Your Breath, Take Charge of Your Health. So you have also appointments, bundles, and health plans, lots of them, mm-hmm. nutrition pack. You have a private mindfulness-based stress reduction sessions. You have emotional weight. That's an interesting one. We talked about emotions earlier. Celiac support and health challenge. So all this, everything is on your website, naturalgen.com. So I'll have the clickable link on the podcast notes as well. But before we say goodbye for today, Jen, would you like to add anything else you left unsaid? Any questions that I didn't ask? Anything that wants to be here?
Well, I think just in closing, I want everybody to love themselves, to know mm-hmm. that doesn't matter where you are in your life, the good things that have happened, the bad things that have happened, that every single person has a beautiful soul within and that we are all connected. Mm-hmm. And it's important to lean on the people that we feel safe leaning on, because we've all been put here for a reason. And that is to help and support each other.
Wow. What a beautiful message. Yes, a billion times to that truth. Yes, it feels that way. Thank you so much again. And we'll talk soon. Take good care of your beautiful self, Jen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Jennifer Hurd and her work, please visit naturalgen.com.
To learn more about this podcast, please visit fitforjoy.org/podcast. Thank you again for listening, and bye for now.